Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Locked On Braves, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network and all of our friends across the board, whether that be Rock Auto, Built Bar, Indeed, Postmates, and many, many others. The Locked On Podcast Network getting you prepared for playoff baseball, finals basketball, the NFL season, college football season, or whatever the case may be, whatever your favorite sport is, there's a good chance there's a Locked On show directly tailored for your listening pleasure. Just go to Locked On Podcast Network. Follow us on whatever platforms you so choose, whether that be iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, whatever the case may be. Locked On Podcast Network bringing you your favorite teams every single day. And for the Locked On Braves fans here today, we are doing our playoff preview. The beginning of the 2020 MLB playoffs for the National League will be brought to you in style, I'll say, to start with, as the Braves and the Reds will be facing off, as it'll be Trevor Bauer facing Max Fried in a horrible start time of noon, which I'm going to talk about here in a second. But overall, how do I feel about this matchup, you say? Well, I'm certainly not as afraid as a lot of other Braves fans who seem to have forgotten one thing, and that's, oh, I don't know, that the Braves are a really good team and the Cincinnati Reds are not. You can talk to me about their pitching staff and about how that top three is a really hard one to go against in a playoff series. I'm not going to deny that. But all these people are acting like Bauer, Castillo, and Sonny Gray is like the second coming of Maddox, Glavine, and Smoltz, when it's just not the case. It's not like the Braves haven't faced exceptional starting pitchers for years. I mean, we've been playing in the National League East, where all we faced day in and day out, I don't know, guys like Jacob deGrom, Noah Syndergaard, Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, Patrick Corbin, Sixto Sanchez. I mean, there's all sorts of outstanding arms in the National League East. I'm not sure why people are so freaked out about Bauer and Castillo and Sonny Gray, but if you are one of those, I do have a stat that I think you guys would really like to see, and this was brought to you from my other podcast's Twitter, the Platinum Sombrero. You should follow at @TPS_podcast. If you're not listening, you should be. I don't know why you aren't. It's me and a guy who's even smarter than me, my partner Doc, who really is the brains of that operation. But here's what he had to say regarding Trevor Bauer, Luis Castillo, and Sonny Gray, who all had outstanding seasons. They made 34 starts combined. 20 of those came against teams whose WRC+, if you aren't aware of what WRC+ is, it is basically the conglomeration of your overall offensive statistics. So that's the one stat that you can compare team to team, player to player, and it tells you who was the most valuable offensive players and offensive teams in general. So anytime you see a plus, it means you are starting at 100. Anything above 100 is above average. Anything below 100 is below average. So Bauer, Castillo, and Gray, 20 of their 34 starts against teams whose WRC plus was below 89. That means that the vast majority of their starts came against teams who were awful offensively. Now, if you want to go the average lineup they faced by WRC plus, Bauer's was an 89, Castillo's was an 88, and Sonny Gray's was about 89.5. Just to bear that in perspective, the Atlanta Braves' overall WRC plus was 121. And if you want something even better, talking about right-handed pitchers, which all three of these are, the Braves were third in all of baseball in WRC plus. They were third in slugging. They were third in OPS. This is a team that hit right-handed pitchers very well. 137 WRC plus for the Braves against right-handed pitchers this season. That bodes very well. If you want to go with the traditional statistics, batting average, they were the number one in the National League, number two in all of baseball versus right-handed pitching. OBP the same. They were second in all of baseball. Slugging, they were third. OPS third, I mentioned. This is a lineup that is able to mash right-handers. This is a lineup that really can mash everybody, but they hit very well against right-handers. It's not hard to see. They've got who should be the MVP in Freddie Freeman, who's batting second most days now. You got Ronald Acuna, who's a guy that I would venture a guess that he'll remain a reverse split type of guy with his elite bat speed and his ability to turn on inside pitches. Tends to hit righties at a really, really monster clip. Marcell Ozuna is able to hit righties. He just hits everybody. He just hits everybody hard. Travis d'Arnaud hits righties well. This is a team that is pretty... Dansby Swanson, same thing. Now that he's opened up his stance a little bit, really mashes righties. This is a team that can hit right-handers really, really well. And this is a team in the Reds whose main starting pitchers, they got a lot of this pitching. It's a little bit, I don't want to say that it's completely a mirage, because all three of those guys are really, really talented, but they're not as talented as what the numbers in 2020 are telling you. There's a reason why the NL Central is a garbage dump, while you've got teams that are under 500 in the playoffs coming out of the NL Central. It wasn't a good division. The AL Central really wasn't a good division either. You're talking about getting to play multiple games against the Tigers, the Brewers who suck, the Cardinals who didn't have a good offense, the Pirates who were probably the worst team in all of Major League Baseball, the Royals who also suck. The Indians, whose offense was atrocious, they got to feast upon some really, really bad offenses. And that's just, it helps put the stats up. And Bauer's going to win the Cy Young, I'm sure. But again, I'm not worried. And you shouldn't be worried either. This is a team that regularly faces some of the top five to top 10 best pitchers in Major League Baseball year in and year out. This is an offense that has been able to hang with the best in all of baseball. They murdered Gerrit Cole. They've been able to beat every good pitcher that they faced for the last few seasons. It's just, I don't understand why everybody is so terrified of the Reds. They keep saying, oh, well, pitching wins you championships. Here in Braves country, we should know better. We've had outstanding pitching throughout most of our 19-year playoff drought. I mean, when you think about it, the Braves playoff mantra for basically the entire time that I've been alive has been great pitching and try to have timely offense. And it's been that offense that's been the problem in the postseason. So going forward into this year, the Braves have the best offense in baseball. And despite what people want to tell you, defense and pitching does not win you championships anymore. You have to be a really, really strong offense. And the Braves have, for my money, the best offense in all of baseball this year. They do a great job of actually hitting the ball and getting on base that way, of taking their walks, of hitting for power. This is a team that, aside from, they score the second most runs in baseball behind the Dodgers. Now, the Dodgers, we know what their lineup is with Bellinger and Betts and Max Muncy and Corey Seager and Justin Turner, just a lot of really, really outstanding hitters. The Braves have an offense that can go toe-to-toe with anybody. This is a team that does a phenomenal job of scoring runs. Now, we can say the starting pitching has not been great, and it's not ideal to be going into the playoffs with two rookies holding your number two and three spot, but let's not act like the Reds have some sort of pitching that we've never seen before. If you're talking about pure matchup-based, which of these guys could give the Braves the most fits or will hurt the team the most, I actually think Sonny Gray is the most dangerous pitcher that the Braves will face. And that's because he's going to match up pretty well against the Braves, because he's not a guy, that relies on overpowering stuff. He's a guy that relies on throwing a lot of junk pitches and throwing a lot of off-speed pitches, which is something that the Braves can tend to struggle with. Castillo has an elite changeup, and we've seen that, and it's going to be fun because he's going to match up with Ian Anderson, who also has an elite changeup. But the thing about changeups are, if you don't spot them exactly where you want, they don't have a ton of spin on them, which means that when you make contact and it's put in a bad spot, the hitter is supplying all of the spin to that baseball. It actually makes it go farther. That's a home run pitch. We've seen Castillo plenty of times have outings where he gives up 5-6 runs to lesser offenses than the Braves. This is a team in the Reds who don't hit well at all. You talk about they have the worst BABIP in baseball. They can hit home runs, but home runs don't count towards your BABIP. It tells the story of a team that is literally all or nothing. If they're not hitting home runs, then they're not getting on base, because they hit a lot of pop-ups and a lot of elite fly balls type of things. You talk about offensively, their best player is Jesse Winker this season, and Winker would be sixth on the Braves, I believe it is, if I looked at the numbers correctly. This is not a team that worries you offensively at all. You're talking about Max Fried. He's a guy that doesn't give up a lot of fly balls or give up a lot of home runs in general. So that is a horrible, horrible matchup for the Reds offense. I know Bauer is going to have the Cy Young this year. I know he's had a really good season. But Max Fried has been just as good as Bauer, or at least almost as good as Trevor Bauer. The only home runs he gave up were his final start, and they happened after he turned his ankle. Max is a guy that does a great job keeping the ball in the ballpark and be playing at Truist, where most of the Reds' power in that lineup is right-handed, and right-handed hitters have a harder time hitting home runs in Truist, unless you're, Ronald Acuna hitting it 500 feet. For the most part, Truist plays up for lefties and plays down for righties. So you can, Joey Votto. Votto's been awful this year. Jesse Winker might be the only lefty in their lineup that supplies any real power, and it's not really that much power when you're talking about Winker. I'm not worried about this at all. I'm going to go ahead and end this first segment here. When we come back, we're going to take a look a little bit more at this matchup, and we're going to talk about Freddie Freeman and some more things along the MVP. But today, the focus is definitely going to be the playoffs that start tomorrow. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this. A word from our sponsors here on Locked On Braves. Hey, everybody, it's Dylan from Locked On Braves here to tell you about my good friends at rockauto.com. Your car is a very big part of your life. It gets you everywhere you need to go, from work to pleasure. Basically, everything in your life revolves around your car. Sometimes cars need to get fixed. So my good buddies over at rockauto.com know this, and they make it easy for you. They're a family-owned business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They've got everything from engine control modules, brake parts, taillights, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Just write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Go to rockauto.com today. Everybody, welcome back to Locked On Braves. Sorry I had to end that last segment a little bit abruptly. I happened to look up at the time and realized that I'd gone almost 3 minutes over my allotted time for this one. We've got a longer episode to talk about today in this preview, so I'm probably going to go over again today. Hopefully you guys don't mind. But talking about this Reds and Braves matchup, I'm not really happy that it's at noon. You're talking about the guy who's going to win the Cy Young and Trevor Bauer versus a pitcher who, had he remained healthy, might have won the Cy Young himself in Max Fried. I have no idea why. With the Reds seeming to be every national guy's darling pick to win in the first round, and the Braves being the number two seed and one of the top three teams in the National League as far as record, the number two offense in all of baseball, why it is that they are playing at noon, and you've got the Rays in the 4 o'clock slot. I'm not exactly sure, I'm not entirely certain why the Braves aren't in the 4 o'clock slot. I would have imagined that that would have been the prime place for them to be. I don't like a lot of the seedings in general from what we've seen. I don't like the time slots. I understand that you want to get as many games in. I'm sorry, I meant to say the Rays at 4, but what you're going to end up getting tomorrow, the time slots for tomorrow, the Braves and the Reds will be at 12:08. You're going to have Miami and Chicago at 2, the Blue Jays and the Rays at 4, and then New York and Cleveland are going to be the 7 o'clock game, which I would have figured would have been a more prime place for the Braves. As I would imagine you'd want a 7-2 over a 5-4 slot, but whatever. I mean, I guess they don't ask me my opinion. Just seems like a shame that you're going to have such an amazing pitching matchup, and you're going to have most people still at work not able to watch. So not really excited about that, but one thing I am excited for is for this Braves team to get to feast on this Cincinnati team. And I mentioned in the first segment about the three big guns that Cincinnati is going to trot out there as far as their starting rotation, how they haven't played a good offense really at all. And I think it's going to be a big shock to a lot of Reds fans, and a lot of these national guys who almost unanimously picked the Reds over the Braves just because the Reds happen to be the sexy pick right now with their pitching. They've played well here at the end of the year. But this is a Braves team that habitually gets kind of forgotten or a little bit undervalued because they've been so amazing offensively, and it's been so steady all year offensively as far as scoring runs. You know, you've got bad games here and there, but for the most part, this Braves offense has been a juggernaut all season long that it almost loses the story value, because the one thing people are going to notice nationally is, oh, the Braves don't have Soroka. They don't have any real pitching aside from Max Fried, and Max Fried came out of his last game hurt. Well, Max Fried is playing in Game 1. Ronald Acuna is back for Game 1. Chris Martin avoided injury. He's back for Game 1. Ozzie's going to be in there Game 1. The Braves, Austin Riley's going to be in there for Game 1. The Braves are relatively healthy, aside from like Mike Soroka. The Braves are healthy heading into Game 1. They're healthy heading into this series. And this is a Braves team that just, quite frankly, it feels like it doesn't really matter who the first round matchup is. It just kind of feels like this is a different Braves squad heading into the postseason. You guys know I am certainly not a homer. I am certainly not one of these guys that only looks at rainbows and sunshine when it comes to my team. You guys know that I'm a very realistic fan when it comes to at least putting my opinions out there as far as the Braves season. I, for the life of me, I don't understand being terrified of the Cincinnati Reds. They are who they are for a reason. They're not a strong team, and if it weren't for playing in the NL Central, they wouldn't really be considered. I don't think they'd be a playoff team if they weren't in the NL Central. That's a horrible division. It's filled with teams that the Cubs are okay, but their offense has not been good either. You've had bad seasons from Chris Bryant, Javi Baez, and Anthony Rizzo, who are about the only three really strong offensive pieces. Luckily, Hayward and Ian Happ managed to pick up the slack for them. They've got Yu Darvish, who's amazing, but the rest of their starting rotation is not great. Alec Mills had the no-no, but it wasn't. It was one of the most improbable no-nos in the history of no-nos. It's not a strong division, and it's not a strong AL division, so that's who the Reds got to play all year, and it does matter. When you're talking about matching them at the postseason, it does matter who your record came against. And for the Reds, I mean, they can certainly bomb some home runs. They do have some big home run hitters, Eugenio Suarez, Jesse Winker we talked about, Nick Castellanos. They've got some power guys, Mike Moustakas as well, but they're not a good hitting team. I mean, Castellanos for the first 3 weeks of the season looked like he was going to be the MVP. Then he cooled off pretty rapidly. Suarez has been awful all year. Moustakas hasn't been great either. They're a team that runs a low BABIP habitually because they sell out, because they're all or nothing. And I don't have the time to really dig into that on this episode. I might take a look at it a little bit later. Now, that's not to say that the Reds can't beat the Braves or the Braves go out and lay an egg. But again, that's the thing. I think a lot of this fear comes from knowing that the Braves haven't won a postseason series in 20 years or 19 years since 2001. Well, if you want to run by that spectrum, the Reds haven't won a postseason series since 1995. So if there's one team that you're matching up with in the playoffs that you should feel better about your chances, it should be Cincinnati, who I guess has an even worse playoff curse than us. It really just turns out that they haven't been very good for the most part since 1995. But when you're looking at the two teams and how they match up, the Braves are a better defensive team, although the defense hasn't been great this year. I feel much better about the Braves' defense, particularly using outs above average, than I do the Reds, who are playing multiple bad players in new positions this year. Offensively, there's no comparing the two. The Braves are far and away better. The starting rotation, you'll give the edge to Cincinnati, but we've seen what this Braves team does to elite starting pitching. They're able to really dominate elite starting pitching. It's because they see it so often. It's not all that new. Bauer's not going to throw anything that they haven't seen from Jacob DeGrom. Jacob DeGrom is and will remain a better pitcher than Trevor Bauer, regardless of this season, regardless of Trevor Bauer's careers. Jacob DeGrom is the best pitcher in Major League Baseball, and the Braves are able to beat DeGrom on the regular. And this is, again, going back to the offense of the Reds, you don't have to put up 8 runs to beat the Reds. You put up 3 runs, you're going to beat them. They're not a good offense. Their bullpen's been okay, but it's not great. The Braves' bullpen, by comparison, is one of the best bullpens in baseball. And once you get to the playoffs, the only thing that can really drag down the Braves is if Brian Snicker decides that he wants to throw the worst bullpen guys in high-leverage opportunities, which if you want to talk about paring down your playoff roster in a 3-game series here, you don't have to do that. You can go balls to the wall a little bit. You can go right after and use your main guys, which I don't want to see him using Luke Jackson in this series unless it's a blowout either way. You should see some sort of combination of A.J. Minter, Chris Martin, Mark Melancon, who I don't want to see that much of, and Shane Green, who's been very good as well this season. Those four on their own should be more than enough to get you through. As long as you get starting outings that can get you through into the sixth or into the seventh, then you're not going to have to burn through these bullpen guys. You're not going to have to really sweat. And with Ian Anderson, the question is going to be, can he kind of overcome some rougher and inefficient outings his last few times out and be a little bit more efficient? I think the Reds lineup is certainly a lineup that he should be able to quote-unquote get right against. How are they going to handle the pressure of playoff baseball? It's easier this year. There's not going to be nearly as many fans. I'm not even sure if there's going to be real fans, really. I think the families of the players are going to be allowed to go. They might let in a few people, but it's certainly not going to be a normal playoff atmosphere, which helps for young guys. Kyle Wright, we've seen how much better he's been. And the last few outings, his last 4 or 5 outings have been really, really strong. I think he's certainly the weakest link in the rotation, but it's not like I feel bad about having him in there. Again, you're facing a bad lineup. It's not a lineup that's really going to consistently hurt you. As long as you're able to keep the ball in the yard, which that was Kyle Wright's problem in his first 2 starts back up. But since then, he's done a good job of keeping it in the yard. That's the one thing that you want to avoid. If you're able to keep them in the ballpark, that Reds team can't string together hits and beat you. They're not one of these teams that can hit a bunch of doubles or, you know, move guys station to station or rack up, you know, 8 to 12 hits on you. They're just not built that way. For me, this is a fine matchup for the Braves. I'm not worried at all. And it could be that I just don't like Trevor Bauer, but I don't buy into him as an ace. I don't I think he's a very, very talented pitcher. And I would be shocked if the Braves didn't have some conversations with him this offseason as far as trying to sign him to a one-year deal. He seems to want one-year deals, and Alex, we know, loves to give one-year deals. I would not be shocked if Trevor Bauer ended up in Atlanta next season. But I don't buy into this that the Reds are all of a sudden some super juggernaut of an undervalued team. They're not a great team, and their record proves it. I know it's 60 games, and 60 games is not a lot. It's not your normal 162, blah, blah, blah. But it's enough to show you how these guys stack up. And offensively, I'm sorry, they're just deficient. So if you can keep them 2 runs or under or 3 runs or under, this Braves team can score with anybody. And I think it's going to be a real wake-up call to a lot of these national guys when they go out there and they see what this Braves offense is capable of doing. If the Braves lose this series, I'm not going to tell you, oh, well, the Reds were just better this time. We just got the Reds at the wrong time. There is no excuse for losing to the Cincinnati Reds. There is no matchup in this first round that I would say, oh man, this is a bad matchup for the Braves. The Braves are one of the top teams in the National League, one of the best teams offensively in baseball. Their pitching is not phenomenal, but they're a team that everything else about them is phenomenal. They should not falter against any of their first-round competition. As a matter of fact, the only real teams that I think should give the Braves problems would be Los Angeles and maybe San Diego. Those would be the only two, although San Diego without Clevinger. I mean, they've still got Denelson Lamet, but then they match up pretty closely with the Braves as far as who they're going to be trotting out there after that. I mean, that really the only team that I would look at and say is better than the Braves top to bottom would be Los Angeles. This is a season where I feel like if the Braves get to the NLCS and they get to the World Series matchup would be easier for the Braves than the NLCS matchup would be. This is one of the few years, just like last year, where I can say that. Now, I know what happened last year, which is why I'm not going to go out on a limb and say for sure, oh, the Braves definitely win. All I'm going to tell you is there is no excuse for the Braves not to win. This is a team that has a chip on their shoulder heading into the playoffs. It's got a really bad taste in their mouths after last season. Freddie Freeman is your MVP. The only question is whether the voters are going to give him what he deserves or whether they're going to pick a flashier player in Tatis, even though Tatis has been awful all of September. Freddie has been the best offensive player in baseball, which is what the MVP is judged on. This lineup is cooking at the right time. Acuña's gotten himself hot right here at the end. Ozzie Albies has been cooking since he came back from the IL. This is an offense that should be set up to dominate this postseason. Everybody's coming in at the right times. I don't like that I'm going to have to see a lot of Nick Markakis. I actually think you'll see a lot of Ozuna in left field. You'll see Tyler Flowers catching a lot and Travis d'Arnaud with DH. I'd have to imagine that's probably going to be the lineups that we see most often because Nick has been bad in the field and at the plate, and Ender has not been good at all this season either. But for the most part, you're telling me that you have one hole in your lineup for this Braves team. This is a team that I fully expect them to score a fair amount of runs this season. I would expect them to average around 4 to 5 runs a game. I think this is a team that can go really, really deep. We'll talk a little bit more about it tomorrow as I'll have a later episode, but we'll be able to look over the first game. Again, first game tomorrow, Max Fried, Trevor Bauer will start at 12:08 p.m. I am looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the Braves messing up Trevor Bauer just like they did last time they faced him in Cleveland, where he got so frustrated by the fact that the Braves were actually able to work the count on him that he had to talk about and whine about in the post game. But as it is, I am going to end this episode now, as I did go over, just like I warned you guys. But we'll be back tomorrow to discuss Game 1 and look ahead to Game 2. We'll be back right here on Locked On Braves.